So let's turn to Ephesians 5 and to the verses 15, 16 and 17. Where it says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." So, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. I want to think this morning about our use of screens. Social media. The way that we can use screens to interact with other people. The way that we can use screens for entertainment, to watch programs, to play games. I want to think about what place they have in your life, my life. Because we hear a great deal today about the opportunities and about the dangers of the use of screens. They can be used for evil, as verse 16 says, the days are evil. But they are also possibly used for good and for wise things, for good things. We can see them as an opportunity and see them as a way of doing good. So, we're going to have a message this morning on screens. You might immediately think, oh, this is irrelevant to me. Or you might be defensive. You might be thinking, my use of screens is fine. I don't need a sermon on screens. But bear with me and let's think about this. The congregation has a Facebook page, which Fiona Talbot maintains. It's a very useful way of us communicating with one another and also the wider community as to what's happening in the church, and a way of making the most of the opportunity that social media provides for good. The other day I was checking out the Facebook page for something. Now, I don't do Facebook. I'm not saying that's a virtue or a vice, I'm just saying I don't. So some of it's a bit of a mystery to me. But I noticed some people had liked something, so I clicked on that, and that led me to someone's page, personal page, and I scrolled down and looked at some of their nice photos for a minute, and then I saw someone else that I could click on there, and I clicked and scroll, click, 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 scroll, click, scroll. 5 minutes, just like that, had gone. 5 minutes of my life, and I sort of came to with a start and thought to myself, this stuff could swallow me alive because it goes on forever. It could have been 5 minutes, it could have been 15 minutes, it could have been 50 minutes, it could have been 5 hours, it could be a lifetime, because it's pretty much infinite. The content that is available to us through our devices is, to all intents and purposes, infinite. It's expanding faster than we could ever, ever hope to keep up with it. I remember the first day I got dial-up internet into the house in 1997, when we just moved through to Baddeco. And this is all new. And I logged on. Remember, it used to make these wonderful little noises. And you logged on, and eventually you got onto a very, very slow connection by today's standards. And I went onto this search engine. I was just really intrigued because it was all new to me. I went on a search engine. It was a search engine called AltaVista at the time. And I thought, let's think of something obscure and see what's out there. So I thought of an obscure little creature called an axolotl. If you know what an axolotl is, that's fine. But anyway, I put an axolotl. 1997. This is when the internet was very young. And there were 120,000 replies to axolotl. 120,000 web pages mentioned axolotl in 1997. I remember being absolutely staggered by that and thinking, you know, I could pretty much spend the rest of my life just reading those pages on axolotls. Now, since then, the information that is stored all over the world on that's available to access through the internet, through terrestrial and satellite television, through social media, has exponentially increased from there. It is absolutely mind-bogglingly colossal. Not in a million lifetimes could I absorb or even cursorily view that information. Trying to keep up with it is a hopeless enterprise. We were travelling up the A9 and across from the A9 to Spion Bridge on Friday. We just kept meeting these tour buses, you know, the kind of ones that come into the village here and do a quick tour of Plockton and off they go out again, and they're off up the west coast to look at the next place. And full of people who are trying to do Scotland in a day. And Scotland in a day. And you know fine. You've lived here some of you all your lives and you still, there's new things to find out about this area all the time. You can't do Scotland in a day. We laugh at people who try to do that, but trying to do the internet or trying to keep up with social media or trying to keep up with the latest offerings on Netflix is just like that. It's like trying to do Scotland in a day. It's hopelessly, naively, unrealistic to think that we could. So after 5 minutes just from the church's Facebook page, click, 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 scroll, 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 I thought, this stuff could swallow me forever. I could spend eternity just reading Facebook. What could that do to me if I give my life to screens and what they can offer me? So I started thinking about that and developing that. I've got a few words then just for you to think about in connection with that, to take away with you if you want to. The offerings on screens then, first of all, they're endless. Absolutely endless. It's like a highway, the road of social media and entertainment. It's like a highway. But it's a highway that's getting broader and broader and broader all the time. You can walk on that broad road. Jesus spoke about a broad road that leads to destruction. Where would that broad road of media take you to? And because it's endless, because it just goes on and on, it's a matter of discipline, how we use it. Like, if we don't exercise discipline, it'll just take us. And it'll take us away. Some people have a disposition towards it more than others. Some people just can't be bored with it, and they're very fortunate. But for most people, it's very easy to be captured by screen content. And unless you have good priorities in your life, good self-discipline, you'll waste time. And you'll waste a lot of time on screens because it's endless. That's the first word. The second word is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's not just like in the good old days when it was just on the television in the corner of the sitting room. It's like everywhere. You carry screen content with you everywhere because you've got a phone. You can take your laptop. You can take your tablet. There are screens absolutely everywhere in life. It's inescapable. And unless you have the discipline in your life to relegate it to a proper place, it will take up a huge amount of your time. Third word is it's accessible. It's accessible. It's so conveniently accessible that it's really easy just to turn to the screen in a moment of idleness. In a moment where there's nothing else pressing that you absolutely haven't addressed, it's very easy. And so you see people all the time. If they're in a moment where they've got nothing else to do, they're waiting at the traffic lights, the phone's out. Waiting at the bus stop, the phone's out. Just walk along the street, you got to dodge these people who are looking at their phones because they're a danger to themselves and others. And because it's so accessible and so easy just to take out your pocket and look at, you don't even think about it. And so you're in the power of the masters of the screen. Who is it that's providing the content? Is it Jesus Christ? Well, it could be if you're using your screen to read the Bible, for example. Is it Mark Zuckerberg if you're on Facebook? You know, who is it that actually is determining what your life's about? Because it's so accessible that you can just be instantly in the power of something by taking out your phone, or by pressing the remote and putting the telly on in a quiet moment. And so we can always be getting information, and people are always learning these days. They're always learning, maybe learning about what their friends are up to. They may be learning about Discovery Channel or something, what's about some exotic part of the world or of the solar system or whatever. Whatever, we're always learning. But unless we have the discipline to use our accessibility so that our learning is directed in a way that's useful, then we'll never come, as Paul says, to the knowledge of the truth. Because he speaks about people who are always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Never coming to a knowledge of God. Never coming to a knowledge of why they're in the universe in the first place. Never coming to a knowledge of what the purpose of their lives are. It's so accessible that we can just be taken over by the agendas of others who provide the content. Besides, it's fast. That's another word, fast. It's electronic. It's not like our brains. Our brains work extremely slowly compared to the electronics in your phone. Our brains are very slowly. So because of that, the electronics is constantly running ahead of us. We can't keep up with it. Because it can constantly provide us with more than we can process, it can be a source of stress. If we're trying to keep up with it, it can make us very anxious. I read the other day that Barack Obama, when he was in office, he used to get 10,000 letters every day, and he answered every one of them. No, he didn't. Don't be ridiculous. Of course he didn't. He could never do that. It says he tried to read 10 of them a day. That's a very realistic. Even that may have been difficult for him under the pressures of office, high office, but he tried to read 10 of them just to keep in connection with the American people. But because the internet and social media and entertainment is so fast, it's electronic, it's always going to be able to provide us with far more than we can process. And if we try to keep up with it, it's stressful. It's very, very stressful. So just come back to the passage we began with. We need to be very careful how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. So don't try to catch social media. Don't try to catch entertainment. Don't try to keep up with every boxed set there is. It's impossible, because it's expanding faster than we could ever hope to keep up with. Here's another word, the word sedentary, meaning sitting down. The fact is that while the internet and social media and entertainment and gaming and all that is fast, you don't need to be. You don't need to move. You just sit in your chair. In fact, you don't need legs to use screens. You don't need arms to use screens. In the future, human beings will evolve just to be bodies with one finger so that they can move things on screens and press the remotes and so on. We probably won't, of course, but the reality is using screens generally requires virtually no movement. And because of that, because we're sitting still, and because it can also stress us a lot, it can make our adrenaline flow, it can make us feel inadequate, make us feel anxious because there's so much content, so much to do out there. And yet we're not moving, we're not exercising to counteract that stress. We comfort eat. This is very unhealthy. Screens don't promote health. So we're not to be unwise, but wise, says Paul here. But here's where it starts to get a bit more dark. It's addictive. Now, we all struggle to be honest with ourselves about addiction. And often the only time we really get honest about addiction is when it brings us to a really bad place. Do screens have a hold in your life? You might think, no, they don't. Well, let's see if we can give them up for November then. Now, you might even start to shake just thinking about that, having to give up screens for a whole month. And why would that be? Because you didn't always have screens. They've come into your life as you've grown older and as they've become more ubiquitous. Well, because they have a power in our lives. Why do they have a power in our lives? Because they're designed to. There are corporations out there spending gazillions of dollars and pounds and euros or whatever to addict us to their content, using all the tricks in the book to make sure that they get our eyeball time on their content, on their sites, on their channels. And so we needn't be surprised if we get addicted, because they're designing the things to make us addicted. And if we as people don't have a sort of bigger mission and a bigger purpose and a bigger sense of what we're about as people, then the screen industry will swallow us. So we must be wise, not unwise, but wise, and make the most of the opportunity that we have and not let it swallow us up. Here's another word, the word biased. This addictive content that is so all-pervasive, so easily accessible, is biased. It's not neutral. It's not morally, it's not spiritually neutral. The days, says Paul in verse 16, the days are evil. We can't just say that, oh, all these people are providing us with our films and with our television programs and with our internet sites and with our social media sites. They're all looking to do good to us. They're all publicly minded people full of the milk of human kindness for us. No, they're not. Maybe one or two of them are. But they're trying to make money out of us. Those who publish, those who post, those who produce the content, it's not that they're looking to do us good. They've got a personal agenda. And it's not about what's good for you. The days are evil. So unless particular expression of human technology and culture is redeemed by Jesus Christ, then it's going to be evil. It's going to have a bias against our good. How do we see that in screens and in what they provide? Well, a lot of screen content, particularly social media, is very personal. It's about people. People put themselves out there, and because of that, they're vulnerable, and they're easily hurt. But also because they're putting themselves out there, their content is interesting to other people. It's a kind of sophisticated form of gossip, really. And it's easy for us to give our attention to other people's lives out of prurient motives. It's trivial, a lot of it. That means it's not important, keeps us away from important things. It's tribal. That means it's capable of generating cliques and interest groups and pressure groups and narrow interests, and it's a place where people can easily be bullied. It's a place where people can easily be rubbished. And so another word I'd use is it's brutal. And I don't mean just that a lot of the content is brutal. It's gratuitously violent. It's gratuitously damaging. A lot of it is, even our news coverage, let alone in games and entertainment. But a lot of it is brutally competitive as well. Because people putting themselves out there don't want to put out the good bits. And so they exaggerate the good bits and they leave out the bad bits of their lives. And we read their good bits and we think that's the real person. And we feel we're not as good as that, so maybe we try to keep up with that. There's more stress, there's more anxiety, there's more pressure keeping up with the Joneses in a new way online. And that's where people rubbish themselves. They feel, I'm not like these people who are presenting themselves as beautiful people, as successful people, as witty and outgoing people. I'm not like that. Some people therefore find that social media and the content that's on screens makes them feel bad about themselves. It produces bad mental health. It's doing tremendous damage to our kids, and that's well documented these days. It makes people feel discontented as well. I don't have that. I would like that. They have that. I wish I had that. And we end up comparing, this culture of comparing ourselves with other people. And it's a brutal culture. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10 that there are people who measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves with themselves, and he says they are not wise. And sadly that's part of the culture of so much of screen time is it's about looking at what others are and what others have, what others want us to believe that they have and what others want us to believe that they are. And we don't have good skills to assess it, to filter out what's just false, what's fake, what's out of context, what's been airbrushed to look better than it really is. And so we end up feeling pretty bad about ourselves sometimes. Or maybe we feel we're at the top of the pile. Maybe we feel we're getting the better of everyone else. But whatever, it's stress, it's pressure, it's not good for us. And because it's anonymous, a lot of it, people feel uninhibited, unaccountable, and they say things that are often terribly damaging. They rubbish other people, put other people down. So back to me looking at the church's Facebook page. Click, click, scroll, 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 click, click, scroll, scroll. And I, after 5 minutes, I thought, what could this stuff do to me? What could it do to you? What has it done to you? You know, you may be thinking just now, Roddy, you're just overstating things. You know, it's not a problem. You know, all I do is I watch the news and I put up some nice photos of my kids on Facebook. Well, that's great. But if you think I'm overstating it, just try to walk away. from screens completely. Oh, couldn't do that. Well then, it's got some power in your life. Do you want the people who provide the content to have power in your life? Christians should be free. The only person who should have power in our lives is Jesus. Other than that, we should be free. Free to follow him. But if screens are providing a great deal of the context of our lives, then the power lies with those who provide that content that's on the screens. That is a power in our lives that we have to be very careful about. There are opportunities there, but the days are evil. We need to make the most of the opportunities, but not be unwise. One day, we're all going to meet Jesus. We'll either meet him when we die, or when the Lord returns, if he returns before we die. And I don't want to be like the story in Genesis of Lot and his wife, who are escaping Sodom, which is going to be destroyed. And Sodom is a terribly evil place, and as the angel is leading Lot and his wife away from Sodom, Lot's wife looks back. She looks back because her heart's there. She doesn't really want to leave. I don't want to be going to be with Jesus, but I'm looking back and saying, oh Lord, can I take my phone? Can I take my screens? You know, what about my telly, Lord? Oh, I need my telly. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be looking back. I don't want my heart to be given to things like that. I want to be totally and absolutely able to give my life to Jesus Christ. If you feel I've touched a raw nerve with you today, maybe that's good. Jesus challenges us in the Sermon on the Mount. He uses vivid language, doesn't want us to take it literally, but he says this: if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. Now, he's not speaking about eyes there, obviously. He's speaking about there's something that gets in the way of your moral and spiritual progress. Get rid of it. There's something that's bad in your life. Get rid of it. And it may be that we need to actually just get rid of some electronic devices from our lives because they're just not good for us and they're keeping us from Jesus. And making the most of every opportunity means actually getting rid of that thing that's consuming my time, that's wasting it, that's swallowing it up. It means deleting that account. It means deleting that subscription. It means getting rid of that, plucking that eye out because it's bad for me. It means being able to release my time so that I can serve Jesus more effectively. It means coming to him, coming to the cross where he died for my sins and receiving forgiveness all over again for all the stuff that I've done online that was just a waste of time or worse. And it means coming to the empty tomb where Jesus is risen from the dead and he's alive and wanting to share in his life and in what he's doing in the world. And it means having time so that I can help others, so I can care for the community, so I can tell other people about Jesus. People out there need our time. People in Plockton need your time. But if your time is consumed with screens, you haven't got time for them. I was wondering the other day why the church in Scotland is at such a low ebb. Why so few people are becoming Christians in Scotland compared to many other countries. And I think one of the great reasons is that people are busy surfing, they're busy gaming, they're busy posting, they're busy binge watching, they're busy, so busy that they haven't got time to pray. And God's blessing comes to the world when people pray. But if they're not praying, the blessing doesn't come. People in Scotland are not praying. The great American church leader John Piper famously said, a few years ago now, but he famously said this. He said, one of the great uses of Twitter and Facebook will be to prove on the day of judgment that prayerlessness was not from lack of time. Think about that. The Lord will say to us, did you pray? And you say, well, I don't have time, Lord. And you say, well, how much time do you spend on Facebook and Twitter or all the other things? Well, statistics say about 4 or 5 hours a day. Right, so you had 4 or 5 hours a day that you could have been praying. You could have been calling on me to bless you, to bless your home, to bless your neighborhood, to bless your church, but you weren't. So the blessing didn't happen. So if this is a wake-up call to me and to you, it's not a negative thing. It's not about don't do that. It's about freeing up time to do positive things. That's a positive thing. It's about making the most of the opportunity. The days are evil. It's about being wise, not being unwise. It's about redeeming time. It's about getting time back so that you can use it well and not be under the power and the control of the agendas of the corporations and of the entrepreneurs who are trying to make money out of us. It's about being free. It's about being free then to be a blessing to others. It's about being free to pray, being free to serve Jesus, about being free to bless our community. All of these things are not happening to the extent they could be, because Christians, like everyone else, are surrendering their time to screens. God help us.